Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. I tell you, it is a beautiful, clear, sunny Florida day on the Emerald Coast. You know, I was up early. As you guys know my schedule. I get up early, I go out, I have a cup of coffee on the harbor and watch the sunrise, you know. And today it was just crystal clear. So as the sun came up through the east, that emerald green water that we have and the deep water of the harbor turned to pink as the sun hit. It was beautiful. You know, then I had a great time with my men's accountability group, man, just some of the greatest guys out there. And today we had with us Ryan. Ryan is an awesome kid. Went down the wrong path about a year ago, year and a half ago, was at the wrong place at the wrong time and was shot in the head, two bullets in his brain. The doctor said he will not make it. You know, his mom was expecting the worst. He can't remember what happened those last few seconds. So this is an unsolved attempted murder. But watching Ryan, after 4 months, come out of the coma, watching him start to gain back control of his body, watching him articulate his love for life and actually his love for God, having a second chance. And today he sat there and raised his hand and he said, before we leave, guys, could you pray for me? I want to be able to walk again. And as I got home, I thought, man, this is a great segue into this chapter, always move ahead. You know, there's times in life when we're not going to be able to control the circumstances. There's times in life when we will make the wrong choices and end up in situations beyond our control. But if we just continue to move forward, it's amazing what can happen. Art wrote, the management's mistake. Some managers get fired up for a few months, then slack off depending on how their business is going. I thought of Ryan when I read that, and I thought, you know, here's a kid that could look at life as a victim. He could be saying, I'm just going to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I'm going to have to rely on other people. But he's not. He's not even a survivor. He's a victor. He's out there saying, I'm going to make it. I will walk again. And he's got guys surrounding him besides his parents now. They just love him. I mean, we adore this kid because of his passion for life. And I thought, man, this is so good. Art writes the leadership solution. A good leader keeps moving ahead consistently, constantly, regardless of whether the conditions are good or bad. And you know what? That's the name of the game. Right there. You have to continue to move ahead. You have to continue. You got to look at the situation in a realistic aspect, and then you move ahead. I was on the phone yesterday with Trey White, the Texas millionaire, founder of Evolve Health, and I was asking him some pretty daggum hard questions based on some new press that was out. And something that he said I thought was profound. He said, Troy, I didn't know what I was getting into when I joined network marketing, when I decided to launch this relationship building business. He goes, but everything I was warned about, every type of person that I was told about has come to pass. He goes, so even though I was new to it, I expected it, and it has not slowed down our process whatsoever. And I thought, man, that is a sign of a good leader. Whether or not I agree or disagree with everything Evolve does or what Trey may do is irrelevant. When you look at leaders and you're willing to look at people in the perspective in which they are at, you realize, man, that's some rock-solid foundational principles there that he's living by. Art writes this, leaders recognize the importance of keeping up momentum in their business. It's one of those things that's hard to describe. It's hard to say exactly what momentum is, but you sure can tell whether it's there or not. Momentum is happening when everyone seems to be doing something. There's a lot of activity. Something's happening every day. There's a total involvement in the business that includes everyone. And in talking with Trey, and this is old news, it's not old news, but the official launch is tomorrow. Robert Dean, the top distributor known for I think a decade, who had left there and gone to Monavie and then he went over to Evolve Health, has taken the Top Gun team and they've moved to a new company. And I said, Trey, you know, I know that's official and everybody knows. And he said, it is, Troy. And we fully understand that sometimes people leave. And we don't have a problem with that. And I thought, another good sign of a leader. And I said, how's momentum? I said, I know you just launched in Texas. Give me some news. He said, you know, the cool thing about our momentum in our company is, he goes, it doesn't matter who's coming or going. He goes, what matters is we're constantly moving forward. We're going to be bringing out new products. We're going to be doing some stuff. And Brent was on, his CEO. He said, Troy, I'm glad you asked about Mexico. He goes, you know, the Latin America community was phenomenal. He goes, we went into Mexico, and he goes, we were hugged. We were kissed. We were told, thank you for bringing this opportunity to us. He goes, it was amazing to me the difference in the culture there. And I thought, you know what? Again, any company, any leader, any organization in the field who will just keep their eye on the ball no matter what's going on beside them, that's the key. Richard Brook and I were communicating. He's the who I call the MLM cowboy. He's the leader over at 2110 and at OxyFresh. I'd written him an email asking some questions, getting his advice as a mentor, wanting to see if he could support me in an initiative that I have. And he wrote me back some profound stuff. And one of the things that he wrote back was about keeping the eye on the ball no matter what. And then BK Braco and I last night, we were communicating, and he said, Troy, he goes, I'm making some changes in the company, and we're sharing some cool things that they're doing that's coming out. I just got a couple of press releases from Lynn, his PR VP today, and he said, it's so cool to see the momentum that's happening because we're keeping the eye on the ball. And I thought, man, this is so good, because this is what Art's talking about in Chapter 18. Always move ahead. Always keep the momentum going. Always being focused. Guys, this is why you can't be focused on the money. See, if you're focused on the money, it's hard to stay motivated. Some days are good. Some days are bad. Some businesses rocking. Some's not. But if you will keep the eye on the big picture, if you keep the eye on the crusade, if you keep the eye on the life change that's happening, now you're doing something. Now you're building something. Now everybody's excited. Ruth Elliott, I think she's the number two earner at DEMA. Phenomenal, phenomenal female servant leader. Is up for the Woman's Business of the Year, the Entrepreneur of the Year Award with the Stevie Awards. And I thought, man, isn't it rocking now that we're getting so many home-based entrepreneurs who have built such great reputations as leaders that are being put up for these great traditional business awards that are out there? See, to me, that shows where we're at. Art's first push-up principle is always keep your activity up. I was on the phone last night with a wonderful, wonderful, not the phone, on Facebook, texting with a wonderful lady last night. Her name's Jamie. She's my pastor's wife. Brand new to network marketing. She's in a little company called DaVita. And we were just chatting as she was sharing with me. We'd done a little post on DaVita, and some people had contacted her wanting to know more about the business. And she said, I'm new to this. Can you just share with me, As a friend and an outsider who's not affiliated with my business, is this profession worth it? And I told her it is. If you find the right product, the right leadership, you know, something that you believe in, Jamie, the sky's the limit. It'll take you 3 to 5 years on average to really get the foundation you want. But after that, if you've done it all right and you've not built it on hype, then you're going to see that your activity is constantly flowing. You've got to keep it up. But you're going to see that residual income will start to build. Folks, I watched this when I was with ALEans, with Art. It didn't matter what hit Art blindside. It didn't matter what the newspaper said, what lawsuit was shot our way. He never took his eye off the ball. If you read his book, Coach, where he shares the inside perspective, where he shows the launch and all the way up to when he sold the business, you see that there were times when he was on stage where he had just been given what could have been devastating news for the company. He never took his eye off the ball. He knew he had a team to lead, and he was going to lead it. And he knew that if his eye stayed on the ball, they would find an answer. So I believe that's the key right there. Art writes this: most of the time, you can tell what kind of a leader is in charge by the type of the office environment you see. If the leader is active and aggressive person, chances are the people in his office will be the same way. If he's a dull, negative, disillusioned leader, I'm writing this part in here, then everybody in his office will be the same way. They'll be backstabbing. They'll be backbiting. There'll be politics being played. There's no room for that in any organization. I don't care if it's traditional business or direct selling. Everybody should be about helping everybody else. You know, as I said here yesterday, watching Fox Business and the fact that most of it wasn't business, it was watching one miner after another be brought up out of the caved-in mine in Chile. I thought, there's a story for you. There's 33 men from diverse little backgrounds, different jobs, different duties, who under extreme circumstances came together as a tribe, came together as a team, and made a pact that they'd all get out together. You need to make a pact with your team that you're all going to go to the top together. Art's next push-up principle: think big, don't major in minor things. Now, this is one of those things that I'll be honest with you, I probably don't agree with Art Williams 100%. But I want to read what he wrote, and I'm going to go back to the push-up principle: think big, don't major in minor things. A couple of paragraphs he writes: in the sales business, making sales is the number one task that needs to be done each day, and I fully agree with that. But I see so many people spend a lot of unnecessary time on paperwork and all sorts of administrative tasks instead of making sales. I agree with that. They work very hard, put in long hours, but at the end of the month, they earn a pitiful income because they never actually got out there and made their sales. I agree with that. Don't worry on administration. I've never seen anyone fail because of administration, but I've seen hundreds of people fail because of a lack of activity. Time and time again, I've advised salespeople to spend the money to hire a secretary to handle the administrative details. They can easily pay the salary from the money they earn on all the sales they've been missing out on by not being out in the field. Fully agree with that. And when you take his push-up principle, think big, don't major in minor things, in the context in which he wrote it, I'm in full agreement. The problem is people have decided to take this concept and they put it out here. And here's what they say. You have a concern and you go to the company or you go to your leader and you say, hey, I've got a concern about this. And here's what they say: man, don't major in minor issues. Just go out there and do it. Here's the dilemma. When you see a company that is slacking in the minor areas, then I guarantee you the major areas are messed up also. I've never seen a company fail because of a major screw-up. I've seen it from a consistent, many, many, many little mistakes, many little concerns that went unanswered. There are times when you need to major in the minor issues. I want to segue for a second into personal relationships, because I believe that the foundation of any direct selling business, the foundation of any traditional business, is all around relationships. And if you do not focus on the minor details inside your personal relationships, then basically all hell could break loose. Affairs can happen inside of marriages. Relationships that should be grounded in friendship will be ripped apart because of a lack of trust, a lack of communication. Folks, if you're going to build your business, whether you're in a corporate office or you're in the field, you need to major in some minor issues. You need to be communicating facts, not fiction. You need to be communicating hope and opportunity, not do's and don'ts. You need to be sharing with people why they need to do it the way that you need it done. If you're a field leader and you've got a big system, you want to share with people why they need to follow your lead until they're at the level you are and can go out and do it on their own. If you're a CEO, you need to lead by example. You know, this concept that CEOs' names don't need to be out there, that people don't need to know the history of the CEO, that's a bunch of hogwash. People want authenticity. They want transparency. They want pure communication. The article and review that I will do on Trey White and Evolve later today. Trey answers his critics head on. He didn't do it through a PR firm. He didn't do it through his attorneys, and he has both. He's going to do it head on. He gave me trust because I communicated in advance. He's seen my work. He understands I am not here to hurt him, to hurt Evolve, to hurt the industry. I'm here to do my best to be a third-party advocate, to praise the successes of what we do, and to support distributors and companies alike. You need to be that way with your team. You need to make sure that your team knows. Art writes this. I think this is great. Analyze carefully what activities are going to build success in your career and concentrate on those things. Don't let minor things drag you down, and remember your people are watching you. They will concentrate on what you seem to think is important. Folks, if you take communication and you make it important, so will your team. If you make building relationships important, so will your team. If you turn around and say it's important that you cross all the I's and dot all the T's, they will make that important. And that's not a bad thing, but as Art says, if you're in a position where you can afford to have somebody do it, do it. Hire your wife, hire your daughter, hire your son. Have them help you in the business. Teach them what they need to know, and then you make sure that they are dotting their I's and crossing their T's. Next push-up principle. This is awesome. Your people don't have time for a lot of meetings, and neither do you. This is one of my biggest pet peeves, is when people always want to do meetings, always want to do meetings, always do want to do meetings. I don't care about meetings. If you need to have a sales meeting, do one once a week. Do one once a month. I don't care. Activity is where you make money, not in meetings. And if you're going to do meetings, get Chet Holmes' book, The Ultimate Sales Machine, and make them a workshop meeting where there's productivity happening. Just to meet because you want to know what's going on is dumb. It's not even resourceful. It's just downright stupid. There's either activity or there's not. This is a direct selling business. If there's no activity, go hire more people if you're the CEO of the company. If you're in the field and there's no activity, attract new people onto your team. Get off your butt and go make a sale. There's no reason to have a meeting to say, why aren't we making sales? We're not making sales because nobody's out there working. It's that plain and simple. Now, what you may want to do if you're a CEO is if nobody's out there working and you know your product or service is kicking butt, then you've got to ask yourself, what have I done wrong? See, I'm a firm believer leadership starts in the corner office at the corporate offices, not at the master distributorship level. See, if your company is not growing, it's because you as the founder or the CEO of the company is not communicating something correctly. Communication starts at the top, not at the bottom. And that's what you have to learn. That's what you have to focus on. I've not met a CEO that I have not wanted to help. Even with the companies that are really scary and have me concerned as high-risk companies. Sadly, most high-risk company CEOs will not listen. They want to do it their way. My closest friends in the direct selling industry are CEOs who have already had great successful runs in their businesses. We've grown a friendship, and then we grow a business partnership where I've been able to, from a third-party eye, say, hey, what about this, or why are you doing this? And in some cases, I learn why they do what they do, and we're able to take that strategy and help other companies. Sometimes those CEOs say, aha, Troy, that's great. I hadn't thought about that. Hey, I'm going to throw that before the team and see if we can come up with something. And they don't say, hey, Troy, that's great because it's me. It's because there was an outside perspective on something that they were too close to see. The same thing's going to happen to you. You know why we fill up an arena in Atlanta with 13,000 leaders, 15,000 roaming the halls? It's because they're looking for somebody that they can talk to, who they can share their vision with, who will who will have an aha moment and say, hey, what about this? Or, hey, I did that. Or, hey, what do you think about this? See, that's the key. That's what we all have to be looking at. So be careful. Here's what Art writes. Emergency meetings can also be motivational. If there's a problem you need to discuss with your people, this type of meeting will establish a sense of urgency and we'll get cranking. And we used to do that all the time. On a Wednesday afternoon or a Thursday morning, we'd call an emergency meeting. Now, back there, we didn't have the internet or any of that stuff. So we'd call the emergency meeting, and people would show up at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night. We always made it after evening time, you know, when the kids were probably there. Mama doesn't get upset that way. Daddy'd come flying in, or Mama'd come in, and Daddy'd relax at home, depending on the situation. It was so daggum awesome. Here they come flying in. Here they come cranking it out. Emergency meeting, here's what we're going to focus on. And you know what? This was the greatest way. And this is, I've learned this, and I use it today. In our emergency meetings, Art taught us the sandwich approach. You start out with praise. So we'd start out with praise. Hey, man, here's what the activity of the week has been. It's been kicking butt. We are excited. Then you get a little bit of the sour in there. Sweet, sour, sweet, the sandwich approach. And that's where we talked about what the concerns were, what the emergency was, what we've seen, whether it was a compliance issue, whether it was outside critics, whether it was something happening in the office, you know, whether it was something happening in the company, didn't matter what it was, that's what we put in there. And then we ended it on a sweet note, and we gave recognition out before everybody left the offices. So they were going home on a high note. They were going home with praise, but they also went home thinking about what the concerns were. Those are the type of meetings, if you're going to hold an emergency meeting, that will work best for you. Next, push-up principle. To keep your organization moving, you've got to keep track of your people. Man, this is a big one right here. This is where communication plays a part. You've got to know what the activity of the company is about. You need to be looking at your back office, see who's the leaders, see who's kicking it up. The bigger your organization, maybe the harder this is for you, but I'm telling you to work. When you get on the phone with them, you start building a relationship with them. They're local. Get them in the office. Get face-to-face with them. See what's happening. See what's going on. That is the name of the game. That's how you're able to kick it up a notch. That's how you're able to make it happen. Know what's happening in the organization. You don't have to do that by calling a meeting and doing this kumbaya moment, round robin, tell us what you've been doing. This cockamamie crap about how, hey, I'm going to call people on the floor. I'm going to use peer pressure. I'm going to make them tell. You know what? That's juvenile, childish, 1950s garbage. We live in the 21st century. We're using BlackBerries, iPhones, Google Voice. We're kicking butt if we really want it. And if you know what? If you don't have activity going on and you don't want it, then they're dead. Don't worry about that. Just keep on moving. Know the activity. Work with the people that deserve it, not the people that need it. And always be moving forward. That's the name of the game. Next push-up principle. You can't do it all. Teamwork is essential to an active business. Folks, you've heard me say this. I stole it from Maxwell. There are no lone rangers. Everything happens with a team. Work with people. Find their strengths. Surround yourself with people that take up and take the place of your weaknesses. Art writes it this way. No one person's strengths are enough to make an organization run well and succeed. You build a healthy organization not only on your strengths, but the strengths of others. Nothing can take the place of shared goals and commitments. I call them shared experiences. It gives your people a sense of companionship. Seth Godin calls it a tribe. It's beautiful when you look at it. This was written in 1984, and yet today we're using the same concept. It's true. See, it gives your people a sense of companionship that means a lot in any business, particularly the sales business. When people know that they have support, it's a basic human trait. It's needed. When people see that, literally, the sky is the limit. There's a reason Bobby Buisson earns $5 million a year in Primerica as the number one earner. A Southern basketball coach that was hardly earning $25,000, $30,000 a year earns $5 million. Shane Rudman, the youngest national senior national sales director in the history of Primerica. There was a reason at 21 years old he had built a 10,000-square-foot home. There's a reason that by the time he was 40, he was paying $8 million for his office building. There's a reason. There's a reason why Doug Hartman owns a massive skyscraper in L.A. that says Primerica at the top of it. There's a reason. It's because these guys understand it's teamwork. Not one person. Teamwork. There's a reason why eight people believed in Art Williams and said, we're going to go with you. And in 1977, eight RVPs, 75 people total or 85 people total in the company, launched a little bitty fly-by-night part-time insurance agency called A.L. Williams. And why now, 30-some-plus years later, the company is one of the darlings of Wall Street. They're the largest underwriter of life insurance in the world. They have the largest mutual fund sales force in the world. All built on the part-time average American that nobody wanted. It's funny how when you look at this situation, you see that politics is the same way. Nobody wants to think about the average American and what they can do when they come together with a common cause. But one little ragtag, bald-headed, stocky, Southern Georgia football coach said, I want to be somebody. I want to change the world. Saw what happened to his mom, read a book on life insurance, and decided to set out to correct the travesty. And over the last 30 years, has helped in business, not even counting customers, clients. Over 4 million people have been recruited into that business. Some of them never sold a life insurance policy. Some of them never sold a mutual fund. But the training and the life change that they received, they talk about today. Some of the most successful network marketing companies, the leaders will tell you, the best training I ever got was as an agent at Primerica, as an agent at A.L. Williams. We're following a young man right now that was a regional vice president in Primerica. When his brother launched a new network marketing company, he said, I want to start at the bottom and see if I can do it and build it. And he's documenting a two-year journey, and we're following him on this. Folks, if you're always moving forward, if you're always staying focused, if you're leading your team with the right heart, there's no way that you personally will fail. You may have to change objectives along the way. You may find out that there's something bigger you're going after. But I guarantee you, you will win, and you will win big. Tomorrow, we're going to be on the chapter 19. We've got two chapters left. Remember, well, one chapter left, I guess, that we'll be on tomorrow. That's the last of them. We'll start a new series next week. But remember the giving principle. This is huge for us. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow. We're going to talk about never giving up. I'm going to combine both of these into one gigantic, wonderful Friday because I believe it's so important. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow. Radio for your mind. Bye now.